Welcome to the CIM Marketing Podcast. The contents and views expressed by individuals in the CIM Marketing Podcast are their own and do not necessarily represent the views of the companies they work for. We hope you enjoy the episode.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the CIM Marketing Podcast. And you know, AI is on everybody's mind. I've got many friends and relations who work in the creative sector, and the key word that seems to be holding sway at the moment is fear. I spoke to a dear friend of mine the other day who works in post-production, and she is fearing for her job and the jobs of all her colleagues. I've got a friend who is very senior, decorated guy in the world of VFX, and who is considering retraining as a plumber because he thinks that in 5 years' time he won't have a career. I don't know if he's right or not. Maybe we'll find a little bit more about whether he's right or not today. Similarly, in the same day that I had the conversation with my friend who worked in post-production, I was asked myself to train an LLM, a large language model, the ChatGPT and the like, which I felt I ought to reject the opportunity because of what my friends have been saying. So this is a big change. I mean, it sounds like a facile thing to say that it's a big swinging change. People don't know whether it is threat or whether it is promise, whether it is an opportunity, or whether it's a crisis. And perhaps we can shed some light on those questions today with a very special guest and an absolute expert in the world of AI marketing and ethics around it, which is Mr. Jonathan Gabay. Jonathan is started in the world as a journalist. He became a PR. He then went into advertising, worked for three advertising agencies, including Saatchi & Saatchi. He's a fellow of the Chartered Institute of Marketing. He has authored 16 books, and his 17th book is coming out very soon, Digital Marketing and AI Psychology. So he is the man to answer some of these questions. Jonathan, how are you, sir?
I'm okay. And listen, I want you to tell your friend, in terms of the plumbing thing, that I got two pieces of advice for him. Number one, a plumber and an electrician would never be out of work. That's good news. But the other piece of advice is don't panic, because you do not have to retrain as a plumber quite yet. Because I think somebody famous somewhere said, Ben, that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And I think that there are ways around this fear issue, and it's all to do with proper training in terms of knowing how to use AI. I teach prompt engineering for CIM and I advise about it around the world to brands. And I tell you, in America, when I'm talking to people in America, they're telling me that if you are a good copywriter, yeah, so you know your stuff as a copywriter or a graphic designer, whatever, but then you, on top of that, learn about LLMs and all the rest of it, and you become good at that, they're finding that their wages are going up, that's right, up by a minimum of $10,000 a year. Because as a fellow journalist, you can't always believe the media, you know. it's not as bad as people think. I think this is a golden opportunity.
Golden opportunity. That is a very positive message to start this show with. And I can hear lots of marketers in my ear across the world who listen to this show thinking, how is it an opportunity? It's going to take our jobs. It's doing things that we do on a day-to-day basis.
It's going to take your current job, but it's going to create a new job. It's going to create a new job. It is a new opportunity. All right. I'm going to put Ben, because it's you, and only because it's you, I'm going to put my cards on the table, and I'm going to say, yes, there are some places that it will take jobs. These are jobs to do with processing numbers, crunching numbers, processing facts. So I think that, and Sir Martin Sorrell said this recently, by the way, I think that things like media buying will be affected. Where you're right. Yeah, because you're crunching numbers. What's the best deal and all that sort of idea. So I think those sorts of things will be affected. However, I think that it will open up different types of opportunities. But the thing is, Ben, you and I are not King Canute. So we cannot stop the wave coming in. But what we can learn to do is surf the wave.
Right.
And that's what it's about.
So how do we do it? How do we surf the wave? We've got, you know, roughly full employment at the moment in this country, and marketing is doing okay. It's come out of COVID. Okay, people are in jobs. So it's not that they're currently being rejected from jobs, but they fear that's going to happen unless they get ready for this coming wave. They don't want to be the King Canutes. They don't want to try and stop the wave. They want to surf it. How do they learn to surf it?
Attend a CIM course. We've got to put a plug in, haven't we? I mean, for goodness sake, we're marketing. But no, seriously, get trained. I'm really serious about it, actually.
Yeah.
Get trained. Because as marketers, what we have to do is that we have to demonstrate to the world that we are doing things in the correct way. We're doing it. You were talking about ethics. We're doing it from a point of view of responsibility and integrity. I mean, last night, you know, I've given a talk in London to a brand association, and I put up a slide, and it was of a medicine man from the Wild West. And they used to sell all these elixirs, you know, like you drink this and it will cure anything. And I am being inundated, because everyone knows that I'm involved with AI. I'm being inundated by these medicine men who are, you know, they've got a bottle of this and a bottle of that in the shape of a ChatGPT something or other, and said, this is what I need for copywriting. This is what I need for something else and all the rest of it. And it's the only thing I need. What we try to do at CIM is show people that you don't actually need all that stuff. There is a way of working with OpenAI, working with Gemini, working with Claude. Those are the three main models that I look at, and then taking it from there.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I get the advertising from the medicine men every day. I've adopted zero of them so far. Not sure how they fit into my business, how they would fit into my business. We prefer to use AIs in the small way we're using them at the moment, as you say, as tools. That you need to know how to use them as tools. They do bring, even if you can get those skills, which we will get those skills as marketers, if we do the right things, we make the right learnings, we go on the right courses, we listen to what experts like yourself say at CIM, there are ethical risks involved with using this stuff. But broadly, what do you find are the key ethical risks of using this stuff, and how do we as marketers avoid them?
Okay, so there's a lot of legislation that's just gone through, and it's been finished off in terms of the EU and AI. Okay, so this is actually, we're actually talking at a really important time historically, because the EU is looking at this. Now, from the point of view of CIM, they have, even before the UK was even looking at anything, or EU, they were talking about the idea of the four pillars, if you wish, which was: act ethically, responsibly, and with integrity. Number two, ensure quality. Number three, be transparent. And number four, build AI awareness. Now, if I go through those, so the AI awareness, like you started off by talking about the idea of fear. So, you know, actually showing people, well, what it's really about. And again, that goes through education. Being transparent. People ask me on these courses, they say, you know, should I tell people that this was generated by AI?
Yeah.
And I think that there's no harm in being transparent at the moment in terms of that. Now, 5 years down the line, when everybody will be looking at AI, yeah, it will be adopted all over the place. Should you still be saying, and part of this was to do with AI? I'm not quite sure at that point.
Yeah, I mean, by that point, does it become like saying that this article I've just sent you was created on Microsoft Word?
Exactly. Exactly. You've got it bang on, Ben. You know, you don't have to tell them it was, you know, oh, I looked up on a dictionary about something or other. It's like ridiculous. So, but at the moment, I would say, yes, we have to ensure quality, because in the end of the day, what we're doing is we are trying to show that our brands can be trusted. And we are living during an era where there is zero trust of leadership, of politics, of basically anything. And so we've got to show that AI doesn't equate to fake.
Well, this is it. I mean, on the politics point, part of that is presumably because the technology is always one or two or three steps ahead of the politicians and the regulations. It seems to me that the regulations and the frameworks set by nation states, by companies, are always two or three steps behind. And without sort of a step change, we're not going to get it to where companies are ahead of this, where countries are ahead of this, where governments are ahead of this.
Well, this year we've got around the world, we've got 50 elections. Okay. That's a lot. Okay. Now, everyone is saying, oh no, AI is going to get involved with elections and it's going to be this state or that state that's going to be trying to influence us. Now, we know recently in the UK, we know that there has been ongoing cyber attacks, if you wish, in terms of, you know, finding out details. And then eventually when it comes to general election, there is a serious concern that there will be this influence. But I remember, you know, in the not the last American general election, but the one before that, actually, when Trump got in the first time, and he was talking about the idea about fake news. And you know, I was talking about, well, what is fake? Now, when I was giving talks about that subject at the time, we didn't have AI. Well, we didn't have AI as we understand it today. Yeah. And still people were worrying about this thing about fake. I think what AI has done is taking it up to the next level in terms of, do I trust? I think that a lot of people today, when it comes to communications and marcoms and all that sort of idea, are all rather seeing the world through a window, which is called a screen. So there's this detachment. Okay. And what I think we've got to do is use AI to rebuild bridges with people to say, actually, you don't have to feel so detached, because there is a detachment. Working from home is a detachment. Zooming is a detachment. And I think that we've got to start using AI to actually gain trust with people. I mean, Gen Z, they're all born into the world of all this stuff. So I think that the older people need to start thinking about that and using it in a different way.
Well, that's a mind-blowing idea, that something that, as you say, is connected with the words fear and fake and threat could actually be used to be connected with trust and promise and opportunity. How do we use AI to build trust and to remove some of the detachments we are getting from screen-based living, working from home and doing fewer things in person?
Fear and fake and those types of words, okay, that kind of thing has always been part of the human condition. And humans have always looked for meaning, not just meaning of the outer world, if you wish, but meaning of their own self. And in terms of, am I a fake? Am I up to it? I mean, you'll get with a lot of, and it's not just this generation, I can promise you, every generation, you'll get young people who will look at models, for example, on the catwalk and say, you know, am I, but, you know, I'm comparing myself to them. And this is the stuff that's been going on for decades. It's nothing new. When I started off with looking at fashion advertising, which I've also been involved with, you would see the model on the catwalk. There's no AI. I mean, you know, you could do a bit of Photoshop and stuff like that, but it's nothing like this. So people have to, first of all, review themselves through AI. Let me explain how that's done. We all know, and listeners right now, you're listening to this brilliant podcast from Ben. You're listening to it probably, I'm going to guess, on your phone. Now, a lot of people keep on talking about, oh, it's awful that people keep on doing these selfies. There's a selfie for this and a selfie. You know, they make selfies nonstop. They go to the restaurant, they make a selfie. They go to the cinema just before they go in, they make a selfie. In fact, they have a selfie for everything. And I think that what's happening in terms of AI and selfies, what I think people are becoming is, I think they're becoming curators of their own life. And so they are using AI and other technology. So when you have a picture that isn't the picture that you want to be remembered by, you can switch it, you can change it, you can manipulate it. So what's happening is that we are becoming, all of us, artificial manipulators of our own lives in terms of recording it. And I think that's interesting.
Interesting. You sound like it's a positive trend.
No, it's not a positive trend at all. But what it is, it's about perception. That's what it's about. You know, Ben, that for some weird reason, the business that we're in, they've got this strange thing that even Freud wouldn't understand, which is attachment to the letter P. There's a P for this, there's a P for that, the five P's, the seven P's, the eight P's. Well, I'll add another one because I know that marketers love P's. And I'll say perception. And so a lot of it is to do with perception, how people perceive themselves, and then through that, how they act beyond themselves, as I say, to the outer self.
So do you think because people are, to some degree, shaping or curating their own lives through digital means, through AI means or quasi-AI means, and they know that they're doing it subconsciously to themselves, they are starting to fear what the outside world is doing to them. And everything seems manipulated, everything seems fake, and that's what's leading to what you imply is an irrational fear of the march of technology.
Well, if I'm doing it to myself, as you quite rightly said, then I would expect that you're doing it as well. But somewhere, what we need is a halfway point, which is called authenticity, where we will say that we are living in a world of AI, where the potential to manipulate is out there. But don't start throwing stones, mate, because, you know, you're doing it to yourself. So that doesn't make it right. But what we've got to do is find some kind of ground level where we can say, actually, this is the truth. Yeah. I mean, here's another thing about in terms of truth. One of the things that, you know, you will be increasingly be able to do with AI is, funnily enough, check truth.
Yeah. Yes.
So I think that that's also going to be used, and brands will be, the shrewd ones will be looking at that and how to use AI for that. But there are a lot of opportunities.
Looking for more ways to learn and upskill? CIM members can register now for our upcoming member-exclusive webinars. More details available at cim.co.uk/content.
It's about messaging, is it? We've used stock photography in our business as journalists for, you know, since the year dot. You could argue that's fake. You know, beautiful people sort of sitting in an office. No office ever looks that clean and tidy, and the people in it never look as gorgeous. But we use those stock photography because it's available to us through stock libraries and so on and so forth. They're there to represent a story. They're there to represent an idea. Yeah. So AI is no different in that regard. But what's key as marketers is that the message that we're using it for has to be authentic. What we're using this artwork for, what we're using these technologies for, has to be an authentic message as marketers. If that message is authentic, it's no different to using a stock photography library to illustrate a true story about recruitment trends or something.
Ben, you talk about the idea of fake. Let's change that word to insincerity. And the problem that you have with stock photography is that you have these pictures of happy, smiling, beaming people in offices, who, I mean, they must be on something, because they're so happy with their life. I mean, it's not sincere. Now, what we are looking for is not about fake. We're looking for sincerity. Look, last night, as I mentioned before, I was giving this talk, okay? Now, I created, using generative AI, some slick pictures. Those pictures were fake because I generated them. They look pretty convincing, but it's not about the fakeness of the picture. It's about the sincerity of the message. And that's what I think is where we're going to, because I think people will accept that it's technically fake, but what they're more interested in is the sincerity of the message. Do you see what I mean?
I do see what you mean. I think that's a really important point, is that you were using AI-generated graphics and so forth to demonstrate a truth. You were using artificial intelligence to illustrate a reality.
Exactly. And so it's not about getting hung up about, oh, my God, he used AI to generate it. It's not about the medium. It's about the message. And it's always been that.
So it's important that marketers understand that the authenticity of the message is key and the medium that they use is neutral. And that hasn't changed. That's always been the case in any kind of media that we've used since the year dot, since you and I started out in our careers. But nevertheless, their roles are going to change. At the top of the show, you said that their current roles will be eclipsed by these technologies.
100%.
So in order to for them to have a new role that pays the extra $10,000, as you were saying, what do they need to do in terms of, yes, go on a course and so on and so forth, but what are their new roles going to look like in the future? So they're living happy careers and happy lives using these tools, being paid $10,000 a year more.
So the first thing is, and this is the biggest mistake that people make, right, is it's not about attending a course and saying, I know what buttons to press. It's not about the blasted buttons to press, okay? What it's about is going back to basics, and that is understanding syntax, understanding semantics. So it's all about order, meaning. It's more than that. It's about critical thinking. You see, AI, let me tell you, don't tell Mr. AI because he'll kill me, but between you and me, he's ingeniously stupid, really. Wow. Absolutely ingeniously stupid, because AI will only give you an answer based on what your prompt is. And your prompt has got to be the key to all of it. You've got to, what we teach and what I try to show people when I go to their organizations is it's all about critical thinking. It's all about not just saying, write me a headline about blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, it's got the LLMs are trained on millions, billions of pieces of information. And all they do, by the way, is they give you the average answer to something. And this is where I do get worried about AI. Without the correct training, what AI will produce is more gunk. It will produce brands that are bland. So you will have answers, as I said, based on the most common issue, it will give you an answer for that. For example, many decades ago, I used to write for Reader's Digest, and I used to write adverts for people like Universal Stores. In other words, catalog stuff. This was the days of catalog stuff when I started. And my boss used to say to me, right, now, Jonathan, don't forget, every headline, yours free. It's got to be yours free. It's got to be somewhere there. So send off today or call today or that kind of stuff. Now, what there's a danger of is that if AI knows that yours free is the most popular thing in terms of what to write in a piece of copy, then all the copy is going to start looking and sounding the same. Yeah. And at the moment, going back to trust, people don't trust brands as they used to trust brands. And so when they start seeing that everyone is sounding the same and saying the same stuff, brand blandness, as I call it, then what they would do is switch off. So therefore, it makes sense to get properly trained on how to use this thing.
And that is the human advantage, isn't it? Brands are going to want to avoid this homogenization. They're going to want to avoid this blandness. And good marketers know the prompts, know the instructions to give these things. So they avoid any blandness. They avoid simulation. They avoid being derivative and actually can create, using these tools, something original. There's the opportunity for marketers.
Exactly. And on top of that, there's also what I call the brand version of BBC Verified. So every time I'm looking on the news, they always say, I see this little logo all of a sudden. BBC Verified. And I'm thinking to myself, actually, one of the other new roles that we have to have as marketers is to be brand verifiers. So people would trust us, if we do it right, that is, yeah, to verify what AI has finally produced. So it's the first stage is getting the prompt right. And that is, it's what we used to call in the old days, going back to a great creative brief. Okay. But this is now not answering the question. This is like delivering the questions. You see what I mean? So we've got to really start thinking in that kind of more in-depth way. The next thing is about iterating the answers. So you get back answer number one, which is pretty cool. But then you think, well, I think we need to do X, Y, Z to it, right? So it's about understanding how to iterate and also understanding when to stop iterating, right? Then the next final part of the whole thing is to verify, verify and verify and verify. Because what we are as marketers, is we are actually not just spokespeople for a product or service, but we are also advocates for our consumers.
Yeah.
We must hold a mirror to those consumers. We must reflect what they want and what they need. There's a bigger question about what is it that they want and what they need, but that's a more philosophical thing. I don't want to talk about that one today. But I would say that they are trusting us that what we're putting out there, it is authentic, it is sincere, it is transparent, it has integrity, all the things that people would want for themselves that they buy through a brand.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because we talked earlier about stock photography as an analog. And if you don't get the prompts right, if you're not original in your iterations, you are just going to create a whole new breed, a new generation of AI stock photography. You know, all of the things about officers, if you try to create an AI for officers using pretty simple prompts, will look very similar. You will get things that aren't authentic, that aren't real, that look exactly like, as I say, the new breed, the new generation of stock. So marketers have a real role as prompt engineers in bringing that originality in so they can create new, interesting, original, on-brand work for their clients.
Correct. Now, you also mentioned, going back to the beginning, the idea of film. And there are some pieces of AI which are still, well, they're actually in their final bit of testing at the moment. I'm talking about things like Sora. Now, Sora is quite incredible because what you can do with it is that you can type a description of whatever it is that you want the film to be in whatever style you want it to be, including the style, I believe, of the film director. That's crazy. And then it will produce a perfect piece of footage. However, what people don't understand is that A, the footage is very short. B, actually, stop running to the hills and pulling your hair out and screaming at everyone, because we've had this stuff for years. Now, look, I am probably one of the biggest Batman fans in the world. Okay.
That's quite a claim, Jonathan.
Isn't it? You see, who cares about this marketing and psychology stuff? Let's talk about The Dark Knight. The idea of using AI, but they wouldn't have called it that back then. They would have called it green screen and bits and bobs. It's not new. Hmm. So, you know, this is just another iteration of it. It's the next stage of it. So, I mean, you know, we're all saying, oh, my God, it's going to. Well, we've been using it for years.
You've been using something that's analogous to it, but not Sora itself.
Yeah, but it's a much more sophisticated version of the same thing. It's just much more sophisticated, you know, and whichever Batman you want to go back to, I don't go back to TV series, but that's just like not allowed to go back there. It's like it's too wham and pow for me. But back to the movie versions of Batman, I'm afraid green screen and whatever they would have called it, I'm not a filmmaker, would have been around then. Nothing new.
So nothing new. Nothing new under the sun. But we need to understand as marketers how the technologies work. So we could talk for hours more. And I hope you'll come back on, Jonathan. I particularly want to talk to you in another future episode about rights and image rights and how marketers handle those. But we've run out of time today in a fascinating conversation, which is, I think, gone from industry analysis through to psychology and even philosophy at times. But the key message from you is a positive one, isn't it? That marketers should be positive about this, get to understand the technology, understand that you can offer originality as human beings. And if you don't offer that originality as marketers, then we're going to end up with a whole new world of bland.
Absolutely. And I'll just do one final caveat. Absolutely agree with you 125,000,000%. But I just add one caveat, and that is, if you don't offer it, your competitors will.
A good call to action. Jonathan Gabay, it's been great to have you on the show. Thank you very much for a very enlightening discussion and for your time and insights. Jonathan Gabay, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe to the CIM Marketing Podcast on your platform of choice. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and review. We'd love to hear your feedback. CIM Marketing Podcast.